Y'all talking about, where's the art? Y'all used to support the independents out there. You know, the directors that didn't go out there and do all the things that Hollywood says you got to do to succeed. Y'all used to help the struggling artists out there. Now y'all just talk about all these
superheroes. You guys are part of the problem.
I'll even reviewing old bad movies instead of helping these poor artists out over here. What's wrong with y'all? Well, you know what? We agree. Martin and I got together. I tell you, Martin's the one that actually got me straight. Martin's like, you know, man, it's refreshing to sit back and watch something that's not all this studio bullshit. I said, you know, sir, you were right. So today, I went out there and I got my iPad. I sat on my hammock and I saw this movie. Sometimes, what is it? Sometimes, always, never?
Yeah, sometimes, always, never.
I tell you, folks, that you're not going to hear about this movie. I'm going to be honest with you. If you do, it's going to be something that you see scrolling on YouTube or you just run into by accident. You know, something that a lot of people haven't heard about and a lot of people not going to go see. It's a sad thing to say about this film. Whether we like it or not, it's just that somebody put hard work into something. And these days, especially during this corona times, people are just not going to see it. But, you know, let's not talk about the movie that bad. Let's see if we can actually get some people to go out there and see this movie. That is, if it is indeed a good film. And that's what we're going to tell you. Let's go ahead and look at this trailer for Sometimes, Always, Never. And we'll be right back with our review.
Whenever you make a decision, whatever you choose, there's another universe somewhere where you made the opposite choice.
I can't remember where you said to meet now.
Coast Guard Station.
Is it near the sea?
There are mysteries unsolved.
You'd like this. It's like Scrabble, only with pig princesses.
What's a pig princess?
We'll have to make a night of it.
No. We'll go on. We'll come back in the morning.
It's already getting dark.
I didn't bring a toothbrush.
Which do you want? Cyberman or Dalek?
His brother went missing, and ever since then...
The prodigal son.
All he ever talked about was you.
I'm the one who didn't run away. I always say the only good thing about jazz is that it scores very highly in Scrabble. You don't fancy making this a bit more interesting, do you?
Flutter, a wager.
What?
Muzchiks.
An indentured Russian peasant.
I knew I'd heard it before.
You hustled him.
Didn't hustle him.
I smashed him. Their son goes missing. They're going to look at the body. The one that might be our Michael. And you hustle him out of 200 quid. When you put it like that.
Obviously, you're welcome to stay.
Grandad, that's my bed.
There's a girl. He walks past two bus stops to be at the same bus stop as her, but he doesn't speak.
When this is done, the thing you have to remember about these buttons is sometimes, always, never.
You look spruce. Doesn't he look spruce?
He's playing on my computer. Where else am I supposed to go?
Where have you seen those words before?
In a game of Scrabble.
Our Michael used to play them.
He's not coming back, you know.
What have I got to be scared of? The only thing I'm scared of is dying before I sort this out.
He talked about going to meet some guy off the internet.
Is he mentally enfeebled in any way?
I'm on the other ones.
Do you want sex in my bed?
Well, we weren't going to have sex in Jack's bed. I'm not Tarzan.
Why are you worried? He's a very experienced sailor, isn't he?
Is he?
Something has changed. Something has changed.
Is that a Muppet thing?
Something has changed.
I mean, did y'all run out of money? You had a janitor sing this shit. Something has changed. Is that Kermit? Something has changed. Nah, look, regardless of what I think about this movie, y'all hear this shit.
Yeah, that was funny. And unexpected.
I hadn't seen the trailer.
I hadn't either.
Well, no, let me change that. I saw the trailer, but I didn't see it all the way through. Because I would have remembered that shit. He got Kermit back to singing his ass off. Something has changed. I don't know why. No, man. Now, y'all can hear that shit. I'm sorry, I got to take points off for that. Y'all know that shit. You had this artsy ass trailer, then you had this Muppet came in, coming in here singing and shit. So, one of the things that I, an interesting thing that I found out about this movie when I was looking some stuff up on it, is the director. The director's name is Carl Hunter. Now, does that ring a bell? No, it doesn't. Because it didn't for me either. But do you remember in the 90s, early 90s, when there was a new, like, new Brit pop invasion that was going on?
Yeah, I do.
Do you remember a song called Groovy Train from The Farm? Come on, come on, come on, come on, get on that groovy train.
That sounds familiar.
You'd recognize if you heard it with the instruments. She sings, get on, get on, get
on, get on, get on, that groovy train. It's groovy train? I thought it was voodoo train. That's why I didn't know what you're talking about.
Oh my God, 30 years later, you found out. Yeah, Groovy Train, man.
Okay.
Yeah, get on that Groovy Train. Yeah, that's a band called The Farm. The basis for that band is the director.
Okay.
For this movie right here. Not that it, you know, makes any big difference. It's just an interesting thing. But Sam Riley and Bill Nighy. Is that how you say Bill Nighy?
Yeah.
Bill Nighy, you couldn't probably tell by the trailer, but just to sum it up without telling you too much, they're sort of estranged in a way, you know. They've kind of grown apart over the years. They stay friendly, but the thing that's going on with them is that Sam Riley's character, his older brother's missing, Bill Nighy's son. He just ran away from home one day, and they never saw him again. He ran away as a kid, and they never saw him again. So now it's about them trying to still find out if this guy is out there through the hilarious misadventures of this father and son duo right here.
Well, it's also important to know that he ran away because he got mad over a game of Scrabble.
Scrabble, yeah. Scrabble.
And Scrabble plays a lot throughout this movie.
It does. It does. And this is so, look, this is so artistic that when I saw the trailer, I didn't see all the trailer, but I did see some of it. At first, I thought that this was just a cheap-ass movie. I made fun of it because I'm like, damn, y'all, that's an obvious green screen on a fake-ass road right there. Y'all couldn't do better than that? That's an artistic choice. That's intentional. Mm-hmm. You can actually do like a profile of the car driving down the street. It's actually with cutouts and all this kind of stuff. So, yeah,
it's
man.
It's very Wes Anderson-y.
That's a great way of putting it. Some people might look at it as, oh, wow, that's pretty cute and that's pretty artistic and imaginative. Some people might say, well, that's just fucking pretentious. But, you know, that should show you the threshold that you would have for a movie like this. You know, it is very artsy to the point where you don't know what time it's taking place in, but it is taking place in a time where people use cell phones and CDs. And they play CDs. Yeah. But the whole art aesthetic of the film is 60s pop to early 70s kitsch.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Oh, I know you do. That's why when I saw it, I was like, I think you might tickle your fancy.
And my fancy was tickled. I love this movie, man, as far as the art direction goes. I love the lighting. You know, they always, you can tell that they always strategically put a spotlight in certain areas, even when it's on houses like this. You know, everything in the movie, the color palette I love, man. You know, everything is bright and colorful, but also everything is, again, has that sort of 50s and 60s and 70s pop color scheme that's happening in there. They even have kitschy throwbacks to, like, the 70s. A label maker plays a big role in this. I like that. Like that a lot. And also like that they have... the characters in here, the movie is very, very low key. I'm not going to say deadpan, but very low key.
Very low key, yeah.
There's never, ever, look, again, this appeals to me. Just like with the last movie that I was talking about, Greyhound, this seems to go against all those conventions and tropes that you would see in dramas and and our dramedies like this. Everybody's low key. Things that that would happen where you think they'd be big emotional blow-ups. They're not, man. People just talk it through.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird because you do expect. It's almost like, oh, okay, here it comes. Oh, wait, it didn't happen, but I was kind of counting on that. Oh.
I kind of like that people are just hanging back and just talking shit out, even if they're being smart asses about it.
Sure.
Nobody gets too upset. Nobody's yelling at each other the whole time. I appreciate that. For one, it helps with the teenagers in here, man. They are not brats.
Boy, so refreshing. Oh, somebody knows that all kids aren't assholes.
Yeah. And I said, here we go. Because the first time we introduced to Sam Riley's character's son in this.
You're thinking, oh, here
we go. He's got that fucking bratty hat on. Mm-hmm. Got those fangless gloves and little punk ass. He's playing a video game. He's going to be, you know, he's going to do that thing when people talk to him. He's going to be like, leave me alone. I'm playing video games. And they went against that. He might have started like that just a little bit at first.
Well, a little bit because, you know, granddad is there to say like, hey, I'm sleeping in your bed. He's like, oh, all right.
Yeah, he's like, huh, okay. Because he's like, you expect my old ass to climb way up there? He's like, yeah, I guess not. Fuck it. I'm pissing the bed tonight. I'm sorry. You know what's up. Lewis Healy is the name of the kid that plays that role right there. They actually do some great bonding with grandpa and grandson in here. And it's not done that way where they got to go through a bunch of fighting and pushing and pulling and fuck you, grandpa. You don't know me. All that kind of bullshit. Nah. Yeah. They, you know, that for a movie that seems so, again, so artsy to the point that it would seem almost kind of fake. I just kind of found the relationships here to be a little more real than I find them in other films.
It's got that art aesthetic, and yet the characters don't go that way the way they become cartoons. They're always real enough. Like whatever's around them can have that color scheme, can drop into cutouts, but everything else stays in a world that we can feel.
Yeah. No, definitely. Definitely. You know, I just got to tell you, man, we used to watch art films like this, especially independent art films from Britain, a lot in the 90s.
Yeah.
You remember those?
Yeah.
We'd go to the morning screenings of this.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes, every now and then, they would do an evening screening of these movies when streaming and home video wasn't like it is right now.
Right.
And I just have a sort of nostalgic thing going on. I'm a little biased. I miss movies like this, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, okay, I get it. They don't make them anymore, and I know they're not profitable. But it's always it's just nice to just have something different.
It really is, man.
Even though it's familiar.
I got a confession to make to you, Martin. I forgot about this movie. Until today, because I said I was going to watch it. Last week we were talking about it. I was like, well, since it's not coming out until this Friday, I'll watch it. And I didn't think about it until the last minute. I was like, oh, shit, I got to watch this movie. So that's why I brought my iPad and went out to the back and laid down and watched it. But I said, you know what? I'll watch some of this, and I'll probably get it, and I'll let you just take the rest of it. But once I was into it, I was like, man, I'm actually having an enjoyable moment with this. I'm having a real nice time with this. You know, I think that now if I can get real – If I can get real cinephile on you right now, it's going to sound like, again, some pretentious shit that I'm talking. But there are some movies where they do certain things and they want that message to be out there. And sometimes you look at a movie and you take your own thing away from it. And I looked at this and I said, you know, no one's saying, maybe they are, I don't know, but I haven't read on this movie or heard anybody say anything like this, but I was like, man, I get the feeling that they're putting things out there and not laying these messages out there heavy for people. Because once you get the gist of the movie and what's happening with your main two characters, you start to think, like, why did they choose, other than just to be artsy, why did they choose this 60s and 70s aesthetic to happen with this? And once you learn what's happening with these characters, it's like, well, you know, I mean, maybe they're saying something and just not being really blatant with it. You know, maybe they chose it not for the looks, but I mean, these two characters are kind of stuck in time with each other.
Right? Because, I mean, this tension between them, or at least Sam Riley, he seems put out with his dad the entire time.
Yeah.
And Bill Nighy, he's just a charming dude.
He really is.
like all the way through, to the point you're like, I don't understand why you're mad at him. What is it that can't, why are you still feeling like this? But it is they are stuck in time.
Yeah. There's just this time that's stuck with them from back in a certain day. And this is, and I don't know when this movie takes place. They have cell phones. I mean, but this could have been early 2000s. I don't know. Could have been late 90s, probably early 2000s, not late 90s. But, you know, I don't know what time period it is. But it seems like, wow, you know, maybe you chose this period because everything looks like it's in the 60s. Not just with these people here. It's like the houses in the neighborhood are colored pink and lime green.
Maybe that's just
green.
Parts of England.
it just looks like they're stuck in time.
Anytime you leave London, everything else is just still stuck in time. Never progressed.
Yeah, but I really did enjoy this, man. It's not a long review because, like I said, this is a, you know, smaller art film.
It's a very small movie.
It is. But it reminds me of those movies that I saw back in the day also where I said, okay, movies, they can do a lot with a low budget, man.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you the budget on this movie is probably low. But it's funny what you can do when you make a few colors pop. You do get creative with your lighting. And you create a story that, look, it might not be for everybody, but I can guarantee you these characters you will like. Bill Nighy is such a slick motherfucker. And it's like, I mean, you can't help but like him, man.
And when it was first going, I was like, all right, well, this is a little bit slower than I thought. I don't know where it's going to go. But when he gets to that end and has that Scrabble game, I was totally hooked from that point.
Yeah.
Because the whole way he plays that was fantastic. Just acting like, oh, did I win? I'm sorry. I didn't
Oh, you're talking about he's playing Scrabble with that couple?
Yeah, with that couple.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it almost feels like a road trip movie, but they're not really going anywhere. At the beginning of the movie, they go somewhere, but that's about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a road trip movie that's only partially about the road trip.
Yeah. Well, I'm not trying to convince people to watch this unless you know. I mean, you can look at this trailer and know automatically whether this is for you or not. If you lean towards something like this, it's only a matter of watching it and seeing if it's a bad movie or not. But if you are into movies like this and you know smaller films, more art films, more films where it is very heavy in style, smaller budgets, I think this is worth a look. I enjoyed this a lot, man. I mean, the only thing is, I agree with you. It probably took just a little while to start.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, at the beginning, I thought that they were being just a little too weird. I thought some things seemed forced. They were a little funny, but because of the people that were doing these things. Bill Nighy's just funny, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when he went to the ice cream truck, I was like, all right, this is funny, but if y'all going to keep this kind of weird shit going on.
Yeah, that a movie starts, and if it's nothing to take off right away, you start to get that fear of, am I about to lose 90 minutes of my life?
Yeah, yeah. But it didn't take long. Didn't take long at all. Once Sam Riley comes into the picture, and if you recognize Sam Riley, you probably recognize him as the bird dude from Maleficent or something.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
He was also, anybody who knows Joy Division, he was in a Joy Division movie. I forgot the guy's name, Ian somebody. He was a lead singer of Joy Division.
And
Joy
Division Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
That's right. That was him. Yeah, I say Ian Curtis. That's it. Yeah, check it out. I highly recommend this.
If you are of that ilk, if yes, it's the kind of things you like,
I give it a matinee, because I will say this: even as somebody who likes it, it's appealing to what I like in these kind of movies. You know, with these kind of films today, do you really, 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 really need to go to the theater to see them? Unless you go into one of those, I tell you how you should do it, and nobody's really doing it like that. This would be great for people who like these kind of movies. Go to that theater where they serve dinner or, you know, nice drinks. Martin's like, don't do that shit. Why you say that?
Pandemic.
No, I said after all this shit. If this wasn't here.
Okay. In that perfect world without the pandemic, yes. Yes. If you have one of those really nice art theaters where they have higher end food and you're going to get drinks afterwards.
Yeah. My wife and I would have gone to see something like this because she don't want to see all that big, crazy superhero bullshit.
Did she watch this?
No, she did not.
Okay.
Nah, she probably would have liked it. But if we had gone out and had drinks, she would have been like, well, I'm glad that at least there's some artistic merit to this and not all the bullshit. But Do you really need to see it at a theater? No, especially right now, as you were saying.
Yeah, I felt the same way. It's like, for all the things I love about this, and it would be a matinee, there's nothing about it that warrants going to a theater.
Yeah.
Unless you just made a special night. You already had a special night plan and thought, well, we'll throw this in too. Because it's very short. I think isn't it less than 90 minutes?
It's pretty straight up 90 minutes.
90 minutes,
yeah,
okay.
It's 90 minutes straight up. Yeah, I give it a matinee. But again, no, you don't have to rush out. And the thing is, it's probably going to be on video very soon anyway. I'm pretty sure, give it a couple of weeks, it'll be somewhere. Did you say matinee?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it.
There's another universe somewhere where you made the opposite choice.
I can't remember where you said to meet now.
Coast Guard Station.
Is it near the sea?
There are mysteries unsolved.
You'd like this. It's like Scrabble, only with pig princesses.